Isaiah 11, 1 through 2 and 10 says, "Out of the stump of David's family will grow a shoot. Yes, a new branch bearing fruit from the old root. And the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. In that day, the heir to David's throne will be a banner of salvation to all the world. The nations will rally to him, and the land where he lives will be a glorious place." Once, in the truest story that you have ever heard, his story, which is really your very own story, there was this family, Jesse's family, a family that was like yours, like a tree with branches of these relatives and those brothers and those sisters, a family that loved each other and hurt each other and forgave each other and failed each other, a family that failed God. And in failing God, they fell away from closeness with God. They failed and fell and were like a fallen tree. Their family tree was a fallen tree. When their family tree crashed to the ground, it crushed all of their hearts. The stump in all of their days felt utterly hopeless, like their hearts had been cut right out of them. But it happened. The wondrous impossible. It came right out of that chopped down stump. The miracle no one ever dreamed of, except for God. God never stopped dreaming of the miracle, the one he dreamed right from the very beginning, because love never stops dreaming of a way to draw close again. If you slowed and looked very close, you could actually see it coming straight out of that family tree that had been cut right down. A miraculous shoot was springing up out of the stump. A tender and vulnerable green shoot was growing hope again, growing love again. Out of the stump came one tender branch that would grow right into a crown of thorns, right into a rugged cross, right into a ladder, your ladder back to God. Out of the stump of Jesse's family tree, out of the stump of every family tree, comes the shoot of Jesus's forever love. Jesus would go to impossible lengths to rescue you. Jesus's love had to get to you in a big world. Jesus's love had to come to you in a loud world. Jesus had to break into the world and rescue you with a love that would always wrap safe around you. So Jesus slipped into the world as tiny as a searching green shoot, as small as a reaching new baby. Jesus comes as your little yet big miracle, who whispers to you in a noisy world, "Right where you are, look for the small glimpses of my love unfurling around you like a slender leaf, like the branches of a tree, like the seeking limbs of a babe."
Spirit of God that is all around us, we quiet our hearts now and we ask you for understanding. Lord, we open our hearts to receive from you, which no man can bring, salvation, healing, and truth. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good morning, everybody. My name is Carrie. I am one of the pastors here at the Father's House, and it is my true privilege to jump us into a new series called Advent. Some of you may be familiar with that word. Some of you, that may be a new term. Advent is not a word that you're going to find in the Bible. Advent very simply means to wait on an arrival. And in the Christian calendar, Advent is the 4 weeks in December, where as a faith community, we come back to a place of remembering Jesus's birth and preparing our hearts for his second coming. And if you know me personally, you know I love Advent. I love this time of year. I always have. And I'm sure that's because of, you know, some of the wonder brought through the lights and the spirit of generosity. But I think it's more than that. You know, when preparing for this message, I couldn't help but think of me as a little girl. And hearing some of the Christmas carols and feeling just kind of in this place of awe and wonder. And I wanted to kind of start off this morning by sharing some lyrics from A Christmas Carol that I'm sure we all know, because I think it speaks to why this season is so vulnerable, maybe, so tender, so real. Listen to these lyrics from Holy Night. Oh, Holy Night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appears and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, a weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Those lyrics, I hope, speak to your heart the way that they speak to mine. I find myself in those words. They use the word pining. The world in sin and error pining. That word pining means to suffer from a broken heart. And the reason I love Advent is because it speaks to our human experience, where in some ways, we are all suffering at some point or another. To be human means that at some point we will all feel loss, betrayal, sadness, grief. And Advent speaks to the God of the universe who put on flesh and was born right in the middle of it. So for the next 4 weeks, we're going to talk and remember and reflect on the Advent story. And these four candles behind me, these big candles, represent Advent candles, which is a tradition that happens all over the world, where four candles are lit to represent four main themes from the birth of Jesus's story. One is hope. The second is love, joy, and peace. But today we're going to focus on hope. Hope, simply put, is to live in a state of anticipation. What is the hope that we can find in Jesus's birth? The word hope has two Hebrew meanings in the gospel. The first is yakal, which means to wait for. So that would be the equivalent to, remember, Noah on the ark. So the earth was covered with water. And Noah was waiting for the water to recede. That would be yakal. Just picture me saying that with like a good Jewish. The second meaning of hope, the second translation, would be kava. So I'm going to ask Josh and RJ to come up if you wouldn't mind. This word kava comes from the word kav, which means accord. So the guys are going to hold each end of these and then just pull tightly. I'm going to get out of the way so you can see it. So this is a bungee cord. So if either one of them lets go, we're going to have a problem. But they're holding this to represent that this word kava means a state of tension until there is a release. So imagine RJ and Josh holding this cord as the world waits in sin and error pining for the Savior of our soul. To live in hope, to wait in tension until a release is the Christian journey. We are all constantly in a state of waiting and expectation. And that's because Jesus came and was birthed into the world. I mean, let's just picture that for a moment. The God of the universe putting on flesh, being born of the Virgin Mary, born of a womb into a messy world, not triumphantly, in a way that probably felt forgotten. The birth of Jesus changed everything. But the birth of Jesus, I would argue, would not be as meaningful without the death and resurrection of Jesus, because he defeated something on the cross. So we're going to talk about that. So let's picture Josh as the birth and death of Jesus. Scripture tells us, where RJ is standing, that Jesus is coming again. So where do we find ourselves? I would argue, right here. We're living in the tension of the birth and death of Jesus and his coming again. Thanks, guys. Can we give it up? So that begs the question, if we're all waiting, we're waiting for a lot of things. We're waiting for healing. We're waiting for deliverance. Maybe we're waiting on a prodigal to come home. Maybe we're waiting for healing from our depression or anxiety. You know, there's many forms of waiting. But I think it leads the question, if to wait means to follow Jesus, then how do we wait? I think the birth and death of Jesus speaks to a living hope that we were given to embody while we wait for Jesus to come again. And I want to go back to the scripture that Adri read this morning so beautifully. It was out of Isaiah 11. And here the prophet Isaiah is telling of a savior that's coming from the lineage of Jesse. And he says, a shoot will spring up from the stump of Jesse. Now, Jesse was the father of David, King David. And what is so amazing, if we look at the lineage of Jesus, which I want you to write down, Matthew 1 and Luke 3. When you go home, study that. Matthew 1 and Luke 3, because they both talk about the lineage of Jesus. What is so incredible is when we look at the lineage of the Messiah, the incarnate God, wouldn't you think that he would pick like the best of the best? Like people who got it all right. Not so. When we study and we look at the lineage of Jesus, we find people that failed God, people that failed each other, people that failed themselves. We see someone like Jacob who stole and cheated his brother Esau's birthright. We see named in Jesus's lineage Rahab, who number one was not an Israelite. That's a big deal. Number two, she was a woman. Women had absolutely no value during this time. And number three, she was a prostitute. She is named in the lineage of Jesus. We see David, God's beloved, who is also a murderer and an adulterer. And so interesting, we also see Judah. So Judah was the brother of Joseph. Judah joined his brothers in faking Joseph's death and selling him as a slave. We see Judah named. I just think, what is that? You know, when I read scripture, I'm asking myself, Lord, what are you trying to show me? When I think about the people that were written in Jesus's lineage, I think that maybe, perhaps, we can learn that Jesus has compassion on our humanity. He understands that it's messy. He knows we're going to make mistakes. He could have chose anyone to be in his genealogy. And those are the individuals that he chose. God is the author and the finisher of all things. So if you're sitting here and you're carrying shame, you're carrying despair, you're hurting, I want you to know that God sees you. That God was birthed right into the middle of the mess. He's not ashamed of you. He's not hiding you to the side. The blood of Jesus has covered you. God is not afraid of our messiness. In fact, he chose to be birthed right into the middle of it. God Emmanuel, here with us, here for us, here to redeem all things for his glory. Before we jump in, I want to share some words from an Advent reflection that I was reading in preparation, and I just think it's so beautiful. This is going to frame the rest of the message. It says, Advent is an invitation to a journey. Not the journey of self-discovery and personal triumph so often celebrated in our hyper-individualistic West. No, Advent is a journey of awakening. Because Advent is not a story about what we can do when we really set our minds to it. Nor is Advent about the power of the human spirit to overcome any and every challenge. It's not even about humanity realizing its dire mistakes and collectively repenting in a way worthy of God's full healing. No, Advent is the opposite of all of those things. It's the story of God interrupting history to love, to heal, and save us from our poverty, showing us that we are not strong enough to win the day, but he is. He is. Advent calls us back to a place of humility, to remember Jesus's truly miraculous and humble birth, not celebrated by kings with bands and trumpets in a forgotten place in a manger. Jesus, God Emmanuel, has compassion on us. And what's so amazing is when we look at all of Scripture, from the very beginning, this prophesied Messiah was declared. And yet, life be lifin'. Life keeps happening. And what's so incredible is after all of these prophets were declaring that a liberator would come, we see 400 years of silence. No miracles. No prophecies. Let's use our imagination. If we were living in those times, we're Jews, we're waiting for our Messiah, it's like, hello, what is happening? 400 years is a long time. I get impatient for my two-day Amazon delivery. 400 years, it seems like, I would imagine people would feel like they're living in a contradiction. And when I think about that, I think about the word despair. Despair means to be completely void of hope. And I think if we're all honest, there have been moments in our life where we feel true despair. This morning, I spoke with two people. One, her husband passed away in his early 50s, leaving two children. One, a single mother who passed away, 35, leaving two children. Let's talk about despair, because despair is so human. And I'm sorry to tell you that none of us can avoid suffering in our lives. Not even Jesus. Jesus chose suffering. Because if he were to die anyway, not on a cross, his resurrection wouldn't be what it is. Maybe you're sitting here going through the middle of a messy divorce. Maybe you lost a child. Maybe you're fighting an addiction or you've been betrayed. Maybe you're not where you thought you would be right now and you're really battling shame. Can I tell you some good news? Although we will face moments of despair, and although we are not always faithful in the way that we wait, God is always faithful in his coming. Always. We know the end of the story. So as we wait in between the two times, as we wait for Jesus to come and make all things new, as we wait for our prodigal children to come home, as we wait for healing, as we wait by our loved one who is slowly passing away, I want you to know that we have a reason to hope. And it's not optimism. It's not like pretending things will be okay. Biblical hope is based on a person, and his name is Jesus. And we have to know the whole story to live and embody this hope, because life is real. We will encounter difficult, hard things. I would love to come up here and tell you that everything is going to be, it's going to feel great, to give you a Tony Robbins TED Talk. I can't do that. That is not the gospel. What I can do is tell you that Jesus is more faithful than any human being you will ever meet in your entire life. There's more love and joy and compassion and generosity in our Savior and our King, who chose to be born into a messy world, who chose to be murdered by the very people that he came to save. Jesus chose that type of brutal death so he could overcome the grave and make available to us a joy and a love despite the things that we go through in life. That is the good news of the gospel. So even in our deepest despair, God is at work. And I want to point to these candles real quick. Did you know the reason that we light these candles is symbolic? It declares to the darkness, light is coming. Light is here. One single lit match can be seen by the human eye for 1.6 miles. No matter how dark it gets, darkness scientifically can never swallow up the light, but light will always invade the darkness. Our King, our Savior, our Creator of the universe, born on a silent night in a manger where nobody cared about. If that doesn't bring you to a place of humility, our God chose that. And I think the question for us now as Christ followers, and if you haven't given your life to Jesus, I would encourage you, if you feel that in your heart, say yes. Say yes. Because Jesus will give you something the world never can. It doesn't matter how much money you have. It doesn't matter your status. It doesn't matter what you accumulate in this life. All of it means nothing. But eternity with Christ is everything. And Advent brings us to a place of, okay, I'm waiting, Lord. But how do we wait? Because Advent isn't just about remembrance, it's about preparation. What are we preparing for? We're preparing for Jesus' second coming. And part of following Christ means that we get to live our lives in a way that glorifies God, in a way that draws people to his love. We become changed and transformed. I can tell you for sure that I am not the person that I was before I met Jesus. And it's still a struggle, and I still have to die to myself every day, but I am not that person. And you know what? When I encounter people that used to know me, they're like, you've changed. And I get to say, it's the Lord. So how do we wait? Romans 15, verse 13 says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I think the scripture speaks to how we wait. The scripture tells us that as we wait, there is joy and peace available, but only when we trust. So often, and this goes back to the reflection I read earlier, we want to take things, we want to pull up our boots and just make things happen. We are called to trust. When things don't look like they're going to work out, can I encourage you that God always makes a way? And it is rarely in the way that we want. It's not on our timeline, and it's not the way that we thought it should be. But God always makes a way, because the faithfulness of his coming has nothing to do with the faithfulness of how we wait. And what I love about this scripture is it says, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Not the power of me, not the power of my will, by the power of the Holy Spirit. So as we go through trials and tribulations, as I look into our congregation, I see people with stories that I know. And I know that you're going through things. And you're not denying your reality, but you're trusting the Holy Spirit at work in you, so that instead of reacting, you can respond and have peace and joy right in the middle of the storm. And I think that's called a living hope. We wait with a living hope. 1 Peter 1 verse 3 says, "Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." You see, when we accept Christ into our lives, we are literally born again as a new creation. This living hope has nothing to do with us. It has everything to do with Jesus. And when you accept Christ into your heart, you receive the power of the Holy Spirit. He enables you and I to do things we could never do in our humanity, because it's too hard. It's too hard to wait. It's too hard to trust. It's too hard to be in the midst of suffering and still have hope. But I'm telling you what, it's not too hard for the Holy Spirit. It's not too hard for God. And Advent calls us back to, okay, Lord, how do I wait? How do I trust? What is this anticipation that I have? Because I'm telling you, we may not ever see the answer to prayers that we are praying, but it doesn't mean that God isn't asleep on the job. And it doesn't mean that your children or your grandchildren won't see those answered prayers. So when we wait with open hands, it testifies to the good news of Jesus. As I begin to close, I want to just share one, maybe a couple other things. Two. I told you that I have loved Advent even as a little girl. And there's this one song that I became borderline obsessed with. And I don't necessarily think the theology is totally accurate, so like, don't write me. But the song is called "What If Jesus Comes Back Like That?" And it's by Colin Ray. And basically in the song, he's talking about the fact that we may miss Jesus coming again. Because remember when he came in a lowly manger, no big trumpets? Are we in our society of external things and celebrities and success, are we going to miss Jesus? And here are some of the lyrics from that song. It says, "He came to town on a cold, dark night. A single star, his only light. The baby born that silent night, a manger for his bed. What if Jesus comes back like that? Where will he find our hearts are at? Will he let us in or turn his back? What if Jesus comes back like that? Will he cry when he sees where our hearts are at? Will he let us in or turn his back? What if Jesus comes back like that?" So in this Advent season, I think these are words to consider, because we're not just remembering, but we are living lives of hope. We are called to prepare our hearts for Jesus' second coming. And I just want to read one last paragraph from the story, the reflection that Adri read earlier, that ties in with this. "In this Advent season, look for the little child everyone else forgets. Look for that hunched back old man that no one else remembers. Look for the small broken cracks in the world and in hearts that would be so easy to walk right past by. And right there, slip in a little word that grows great courage. Miracles happen whenever we speak words that make souls stronger. Miracles happen whenever we look for shoots of Jesus's love everywhere. Because this grows deep roots in Jesus's love for everyone. Miracles happen in the drawing close to the little people, the least people, the lonely and the lost people. Because this is drawing close to Jesus. This is how we draw love everywhere. Once, even now, there was this little family who slowed down and bent down and could see small, wondrous, impossible things. That no stump is ever just a stump. A stump is always just a place for love to grow, this small, unfurling miracles. That's a children's book, by the way. And I love that because Advent calls us to take the faith of a child. In this Advent season, my prayer is that we would come back to a place of humility. My prayer is that we would come back to a place of preparing our own hearts, because it speaks of the love of Jesus to our neighbors. And I'm a very practical person, so I want to give you three practical things you can do in this time. One is to maybe just light a candle when you eat a meal. Maybe you live alone, or you have roommates, or you have a family. Light a candle, and if nothing else, it reminds you that God is with you. Because this can be a very hard time for a lot of people. We hear joy everywhere, but what if you're alone? Secondly, send someone a card that wouldn't expect it. How many of us write letters anymore or send cards? Maybe it's to, I see three hands. Maybe consider sending a card to an estranged family member, a friend. Instead of opening a bill, they'll get words of encouragement. And lastly, maybe make cookies for someone unexpected. These small things that seem small, I think it's Mother Teresa said, tiny acts of love are great in the kingdom of God. We don't know how we can come into the darkness of someone's life and light a little candle. So in closing, I just want to invite you to pray with me. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you're so faithful. Thank you that in our weakness, you are strong. Thank you that we don't have to rely on our own strength, but God, with humility, we can always come back to you and say, Lord, you're the one that makes all things new. So we hold in our hearts this month the truth of the gospel, which is that you, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the one who flung every star into the heavens, came into our broken worlds, put on flesh, endured the worst death possible so we could have a living hope. And as we wait in the tension of your birth and your coming again, Lord, may we wait with trust. May we wait with love and expectation. And all these things we pray. Amen.
Amen. Come on, can we put our hands together and thank God for his word? As we get set to close, I just want to encourage us all as we close this year and go through this Christmas season to really lean in, really lean in. Every week we come in here, I want you to lean in and come with an expected heart, because I believe God is going to do something amazing in this last month of the year as we get set to go into 2024. I'm excited about what God is going to do here in this house. So come on, as we get set to close, could you all just stand to your feet? You're going to stand to your feet. I'm going to pray. And then we're going to get ready to get out of here. Father God, I thank you for each and every person who's in this room today. I thank you, Lord God, for this season. I thank you for providing for us and for being there for us all year. And in this last month of this year, in this Advent season, I pray that you increase our level of faith, our level of anticipation and expectation, and help us to lean into you and get everything you have for us to get. In Jesus' precious and mighty name we pray. Amen. Everyone have a great week. Be blessed. We will see you next week.